When we're talking about the book of Revelation, now let's understand the purpose in the book of Revelation, first and foremost. We need to lay some groundwork for understanding the purpose of the book of the Revelation and the way the book of Revelation speaks to us. The first thing, you've often heard this said, that this is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, given to John. Well, it's more than just the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's complete the sentence. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Now, this isn't the revelation that God gave to John. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus to show us, his servants, what must soon take place. Now, we've qualified the date, the term of soon, when we talked about the day of the Lord and the last days. We can look and see in this qualification of the last days that the last days started with Jesus' death and resurrection. It started with Jesus. It's his first coming. That's when the last day started. And that is an approximate 3 days, the last days. Each day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us this. So when we look at this, what must soon take place, let's remember that soon is qualified within that understanding of what the last days are. Do y'all understand that? Soon is qualified. What must soon take place is qualified as into what the length of the last days are. So it may not be soon as far as a man is concerned, but it is as soon as God is concerned. God is not slow, as some count slowness, but he's not willing that anyone should perish. A day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. The last day started with Jesus. We've seen 2 days basically pass. We're at the end of that second day. And we're on the verge of the third day. The third day is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It starts with Jesus' coming and our resurrection. And it ends with the great white throne judgment. These are the last days. The last day is the day of the Lord, or the Sabbath day of God. There were 7 days total. 7 1,000-year periods. 7 1,000-year periods. We're at the end of that sixth day right now, and on the verge of the seventh. Therefore, we're at the end of the second day since Jesus has come, and on the verge of the third. So you can see that, right? 3 days since, you know, we're at the beginning of the third day since Jesus has come, and at the beginning of the seventh day since Adam. And this is the way we understand and qualify the last day. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show what his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Now, that point, let's not forget that this is the revelation that God gave Jesus to show his servants what must soon take place. And he's made it known to us by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written, because the time is near. Now that we've qualified what soon take place and near means, we can get a better grasp on the focus of the book of Revelation. Now, in dealing with the book of Revelation, after he writes to the seven churches, now let's understand that let's look at the way the book of Revelation is divided. This will be extremely helpful to you. The first three chapters, and you might want to make notes of this. The first three chapters deal with the seven churches, the letters to the seven churches. Now let's deal with that first. The seven churches were seven churches that were in Asia. Asia. Now, at the time that these letters were written, Asia was the future of evangelism. The gospel had already spread as far as Iberia and beyond, and now was going to the other way, to Asia, and gaining in its momentum. Asia here, these seven churches that were established, were believed to have been, at the time that this is written, the last churches that had been established in that push going toward Asia. Asia is therefore significant figuratively of the future of the church. Now, seven is known as a number of completion. Seven isn't a number of perfection, by the way. It's a number of completion, a completed work. Seven is something that has been completed. 7 days, 6 days God created, and the seventh he rested. It's a completion. All of these sevens that are used in Daniel and in Revelation and elsewhere, they're designed to show this idea of completion. It's a complete work. Like, for example, for 70 years, Judah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. 70. Seven, it was a complete time. There are 77s in a vision that Daniel gives us in Daniel chapter 9. 77s are determined for your people. A complete work is the idea behind it. And all of these things have to do with seven. Well, seven churches is the idea of the complete church. The fact that these churches are in Asia has to do with the future. So we're talking about the church of the last days here. Remember, the point of Revelation is given to us to show us what must soon take place and that the end is near. Let me read that part again in Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Now, the time that it's dealing with are the last days. And it goes all the way up, we see in Revelations 20, 21, and 22, to the destruction of heaven and earth at the end of the millennium, to a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So this is the completeness of the revelation of all the things that God is going to do concerning this creation. That's an important point. We're dealing specifically, because of the nature of that, you can see, specifically with the end times. Specifically with the end times. All right. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, we deal with the seven seals, you know, as they're opened. But I want to lay this idea down. The first three chapters have to do with the letters to the seven churches. Now, these things are first of all literal, and second of all spiritual. There were seven literal churches there, so let's not misunderstand that. It's not all just to be spiritualized. There were seven literal churches, but the things that happened in what was written to these seven churches have a very spiritual understanding for us here in this last days. Seven shows that this is the complete church that it's being written to. So the first three chapters deal with the seven churches. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal with the scroll of seven, the seven-sealed scroll. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 deal with the seven-sealed scroll. This is the announcement of the revelation. Everything that follows, 4, 5, 6, and 7, deals specifically with the seventh seal. Chapters 8 through 22 are only the seventh seal. That's all they are. There are very much specifics within that concerning the seventh seal, and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls are contained within the seventh seal. So this is the way that we divide up the scripture as far as the book of Revelation. The first three chapters have to do with the seven churches. The chapters 4, 5, and 6 have to do with the seven sealed scroll and its introduction. And chapters 6 and 7 have to do with the opening of the seals. Now, in the first six seals, and we're going to cover those here directly, and we're going to see that it is a synopsis of the time period that covers nearly the whole book of Revelation. It is a synopsis, a time period that nearly covers the whole book of Revelation. Before we get... So, I watched the Lamb. We're going to deal with the 7-year period that falls at the end, shortly before Jesus comes back. Now, this is an important understanding for you to have. We know in Daniel 9:27 it speaks of the 7-year period. The Antichrist, the beast, he makes a covenant with many for 1-7. Remember, there were 77s in Daniel, and this final 7 of Daniel 77s is what we're talking about. He makes a covenant with many for 1-7. Now, the final 7 years is not a tribulation period, okay? That's not what it's characterized as. The final 7 years is a covenant that the Antichrist makes with many. In the middle of this covenant, he causes what is known as the abomination of desolation. And you can read about this more in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Daniel 8, where this Antichrist sets himself up in the temple, proclaims himself to be God, and stops the daily sacrifice. Now, this happens in the middle of that 7-year covenant. Jesus says in Matthew 24, starting in verse 15, going through verse 21, when you see this abomination of desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. And then he says to them to flee, because, verse 21, then begins the greatest tribulation that man will ever see. So the great tribulation, according to Jesus and Daniel, happened in the middle of this 7-year covenant. So the 7 years is not a tribulation period. It is a covenant, and in the middle of this covenant, we see the beginning of the great tribulation. The great tribulation is ended by Jesus' return. It's 3.5 years long. The Antichrist, it tells us in this beast in Revelation 13, is given power to rule and reign for 42 months, 3.5 years. So let's understand that. That's a clarity to have. But what we want to focus on is the events of this last 7-year period. Now, the first thing that we're talking about that happens in the 7-year period from Daniel 9:27 is this Antichrist makes a covenant with many. So this final 7 is marked by the Antichrist. Not necessarily his revealing, but it's marked. It starts with the Antichrist making this covenant. Well, this is exactly where the 6 seals pick up. The 6 seals start the 7-year period. The 6 seals, the first 6 seals of the 7 seals, tell us about this 7-year period. Now, I want you to notice how there's a continual build-up here. When Jesus comes to open the scrolls in the vision, I watched as the land opened the first of the 7 seals. And I heard one of the 4 living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. He's a conqueror bent on conquest. He was given a bow and a crown. This is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. He appeared, you know, this picture of him on a white horse with a crown. This is where he begins. Alright. Now, notice the next thing is he starts a war. When the Lamb opened the 2nd seal, I heard the 2nd living creature say, "Come," and another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other, and to him was given a large sword. Now, you see there's a natural progression here. The Antichrist comes first. A conqueror bent on conquest. What do conquerors bent on conquest do? They start wars. What does a conqueror bent on conquest do? They start wars. That's what happened. He starts a war. The next one is in this same procedure. When the Lamb opened the 3rd seal, I heard a living creature say, "Come." And I looked, there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what was like the sound of a voice among the 4 living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and wine." This is famine. Now I want you to notice something about war. War causes famine. When people are over there shooting each other and bombing each other, farmers can't get out there to plant. And their crops are destroyed. And, you know, you've seen this just recently in Liberia in their civil war. Liberia suffered a great famine because of their great civil war. You know, it interrupted the cycles of what people do. And with war, with famine always comes disease. Now, notice, also with famine and disease, also comes the wild animals. They start eating people because they don't have anything else to eat. And this is what happens here. Listen to this. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, "Come," fourth living creature. And there was a pale horse, and his rider was named Death, and hell followed close behind him. Well, war brings famine. The Antichrist starts a war. War brings famine. Famine brings death and hell. War and famine bring death and hell. And they were given power over the fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine and plague. The sword is war. Famine and plague is caused by war. And the wild beast of the earth. The wild beasts get hungry and need something to eat, right? Can y'all see this? It's a natural progression. Antichrist causes war. War brings famine and plague. And war, famine, and plague brings death. Including the wild beasts of the earth eating people. Because they've got nothing else to eat. All right. Then he opened the fifth seal. And here's where we see the great tribulation. He opened the fifth seal, and I saw the altar, the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. This is a picture of the persecution of the saints that are going on during this time of Antichrist rule, right? And then the last thing, and I watched as he opened the sixth seal. Now, the sixth seal is where everything ends. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky receded up like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes and the generals, the rich, the mighty, the slave, and every free man, hid in caves and among the rocks of the ground, and they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" This announces the coming of the day of the Lord. Now, this is the sign that appears in heaven, that all of the tribes of the earth mourn. Now, if you'll look at this, we see the same progression in Matthew 24, when Jesus describes what happens immediately after the tribulation of those days. I want you to notice how we went from the Great Tribulation and the persecution of the saints straight into the great earthquake and the sun turning black like sackcloth and the moon not giving its light. That's exactly what happens here in Matthew 24. And let me read that part to you so that you can see for yourself. All right. In verse 29, Jesus says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. And they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he'll send his angels out with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Now compare it to what we read here. Right after, those who are dying in the Great Tribulation are told, "Wait till the number of their fellow servants and brothers had been killed." I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth. The moon turned to blood. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth. You see, it's the same event, isn't it? And the sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed in its place. What happened next in Matthew 24? All the nations of the earth mourned when they seen the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. That happens here. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they called, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the wrath has come. Who can stand?" Now, the next thing we see is Jesus coming in the clouds, gathering his elect. Well, here's where we see that 144,000 sealed. They're sealed right at that point when all the tribes of the earth are mourning at the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, scant moments before Jesus returns. Because the same four angels standing at the four corners of the earth hold back the four winds of the heaven to prevent the wind from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel coming from the east having the seal of the living God. And he called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given the power to harm the land and sea, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees till we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And I heard the number of those who were sealed were 144,000. And it goes on to tell us there were 12,000 from each of these tribes that were sealed of the 12 tribes. Then, at the same time, we see those who have come out of the great tribulation. Verse 9. After this, I looked, there before me was a great multitude no one could count from every nation, tribe, and people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. When he was asked, one of the elders asked me, verse 13, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I said, sir, you know. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and then made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So you see where it ends. The coming of Jesus and the gathering of the elect from the great tribulation. Both the 144,000 of the remnant of the Jews and the number no man could count that belonged to Christ to be caught up and changed in the resurrection. Now, is that clear that it follows the same timeline of the scant moments before Jesus returns? So you can see those six seals start with the revealing of Antichrist and go all the way until Jesus comes back. Now, then verse 8, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now the seventh seal is the revelation of the seven trumpets. And that's where it starts. Now notice all these things that happen in the seventh seal go from chapter 8 all the way through chapter 22 of Revelation. That's all the seventh seal. And through the seven trumpets that happen in the seventh seal and the seven bowls that happen in the seventh seal, we can see the same timeline of the Great Tribulation played out and focusing on different aspects of the same time period. Now, I want you to understand, we're going to look at this. I want you to see that the sixth seal, if you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to see that the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl all end in exactly the same place with the exact same events. That will tell you something. That even though the seals, and within the seals are the revelation of the bowls and the trumpets, even though the bowls and the trumpets start at different times during the tribulation, the seals, the bowls, and the trumpets all end in the exact same point, with Jesus' coming and a great earthquake. And you need to see this. Okay, so let's go first. We see the great earthquake, right? The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the ground. And they said, the day of his wrath has come. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, verse 12, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth, the moon made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars fell from the earth as late figs drop from the fig tree. When shaken by a strong wind, the sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed for its place. Now that's the sixth seal. Let's go straight to the seventh trumpet, and you can read about this in chapter 11. At that very hour, all right, listen to it, verse 13, at that very hour in chapter 11, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past, and the third woe is coming soon. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell to their faces and worshiped, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you've taken your great power and you've begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. just like it said in the sixth seal, huh? The time has come for judging the dead and rewarding your servants, the prophets, your saints and those who reverence your name, both small and great, for destroying those and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened. Within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant, and there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. All right, that's at the seventh trumpet. Now let's go look at the seventh bowls. All right, the seventh bowl is like this. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." This is verse 17 of chapter 16, Revelation. It is done. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake that the great city split into three parts. We just read about that, didn't we? Jerusalem splitting apart. The great city was split in three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed, and God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island and mountain fled away and could not be found. Every island fled away and the mountains could not be found. And from the sky came huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, and fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague. That's exactly what we just read, isn't it? And that's exactly what we read in the sixth seal about Jesus' coming and the great earthquake, where every mountain and island was removed from its place. So can y'all see that the sixth seal, the seventh bowl, and the seventh trumpet all end with the exact same event, Jesus' coming and the great earthquake? Can y'all really see that? So all you got to do with the others, you know, with the other bowls and trumpets, because we're looking at the final one, and every time, the sixth seal, the seventh bowl, seventh trumpet. Seven bowls and seven trumpets are in the revelation of the seventh seal. It's looking at the same time period with specifics. So we have the general time period in the six seals, you know, a synopsis, and then the seventh seal is the specifics of that time period delineated by, through the bowls and the trumpets, covering the exact same time period. Only specifics now of things that are going on instead of just the general time period. So when you see that the sixth seal, the seventh bowl, and the seventh trumpet all end with the exact same events and the same time, Jesus is coming and the kingdom becoming his kingdom and the great earthquake, then you know that all those other bowls and trumpets are going to fall in succession in the right place. All you had to look at was the seventh bowl, seventh trumpet, and sixth seal. Now, they all end in exactly the same place, don't they? How many of you can see that? So, let's look at this the way we break down the book of Revelation. And we're going to talk about another point here. It should be obvious, but it's not, Donna. Because this isn't the way the majority of the world is teaching the book of Revelation, unfortunately. But the first three chapters of the letters to the seven churches, chapters 4 and 5 deal with the seven seal scroll, chapters 6 and 7 are the opening of the first six seals, and chapter 8 through 22 is all the seventh seal. And within the seventh seal, the vision of the seventh seal, there are the trumpets and the bowls. And the trumpets, the bowls, and the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, the seventh bowl, and the sixth seal all end in exactly the same place with Jesus' coming. That's the way you break down the book of Revelation. Now, there's more detail in chapters 20, 21, and 22 concerning what happens after Jesus' coming. You know, while the general revelations of the bowls, the trumpets, and the seals are Jesus' coming, we get some detail in chapters 20, 21, and 22 in the seventh seal of what Jesus is, what happens after Jesus is coming. You know, but it's all within that scope, isn't it? That's the basic breakdown of it. Now, so this tells us something, doesn't it? The order in which the vision occurs is not necessarily the order of the events of the vision, are they? See, people have looked at it for so long as we look at the six seals, and then we'll see what happens in the seven trumpets, and then we'll see what happens in the seven bowls, as if they happen one after the other. No, the vision is the way to tell us what was going to happen. But the order in which the vision occurs and the events described in the vision are different. We're looking at the same events over and over again from different aspects. And you need to understand that right off the bat. That's a good place to stop. That's a basic primer on the book of Revelation.